Let's put all of the things in the world into two categories. The first category is things that are owned, things that have a true owner, and the other category is things that are free and have what in property law we sometimes call natural liberty. Over here, I can include things like my uncle's car, my Jack Russell Terrier I got from the pound, maybe a pizza that my friend brought from Domino's. And on this side, I can include animals living in the wild, like a turtle, but it can also include something like a t-shirt shot out of a cannon at a rock concert that is up for grabs, or a Coke can that washes up on shore. Next, I want you to keep in mind that these items can actually float back and forth between these categories. In other words, things that have natural liberty can become owned, and sometimes things that are owned can be abandoned, meaning that they can be thrown back into this natural liberty pool. Property law tells us when and how someone can acquire property, and when someone acquires property, they become the true owner of that property. The things on the natural liberty side, of course, don't have true owners. Now, if you own something, you have more power over it, right? So let's draw a little graph with true owners having more power over their possessions than others. Let's try and graph this idea out using a simple story. So it starts with two turtle hunters who find a turtle that has swum onto a beach. And neither of the two hunters possesses this turtle yet. So here they are on the bottom of the graph, and I'll label them pursuers, since they're in pursuit of the turtle. There are two laws that can help us decide which of these two pursuers become the true owner of the turtle. One is the law of capture, which is outlined in Pearson v. Post, and the other is the law of custom, which is outlined in Genn v. Rich. The law of custom is only relevant if there's some sort of local custom. And in this case, the custom might be about taking turtles from the beach. So if these two pursuers go after the turtle, we can apply these two laws and we can decide who seems to have more of a right to possessing this turtle. So let's say we think about these laws and we apply them and we decide that it's this first pursuer here who should possess the turtle. In that case, the pursuer becomes the true owner of this turtle and their power over the turtle rises. At the same time, the turtle gets moved from having natural liberties to having a true owner. Okay, so far so good. Now let's do another scenario, and let's say that there's a little girl who owns a turtle and she wants to get rid of it. She wants to abandon it. So she leaves it in a tide pool, and another person finds it, and we'll call this person the finder. And out of nowhere comes the owner of this private beach, who I'm going to call the landowner. And the landowner says that he has a right to the turtle because it's on his land. So who gets the turtle, the finder or the landowner? They'll have to battle each other through logical arguments, not by throwing stones, to gain possession of the turtle. And in the end, one or the other will actually advance to become the true owner. To figure out which one wins, we simply apply the law of finders, which can be broken down further into two distinct rules. And I'm going to suggest to you that one version of the law of finders is the law of finders for abandoned property, which applies to this scenario that we've sketched out here. And the other law is the law of finders for lost property. And we're going to talk about lost property later, but for now, just be thinking about the law of finders for abandoned property. So let's summarize. There are really three routes to becoming a true owner. And the route that you choose depends on the situation and the facts that you're given. So the three rules that govern each route are the law of capture, the law of custom, and finally the law of finders of abandoned property. The first route is the law of capture, and it tells us who should be the true owner when there are multiple individuals of in pursuit of something. The second route is the law of customs, and it also deals with multiple individuals in pursuit of something, but it applies when there's a local custom to consider, and when we're trying to figure out whether we think the government or the courts should enforce the local custom. The final route to true ownership is really a sub-rule of the law of finders, meaning that we can divide the law of finders into two separate rules, the law of finders of abandoned property and the law of finders of lost property. It's the finder's law of abandoned property that is the route to true ownership, not the law of finders of lost property. And again, we'll talk more about lost property later.